It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more.
So we're here from Trey Young here, but I was looking at or reading an article about what the Rays are doing to try to get George Steinbrenner field ready for their transition.
Crazy. I was looking at mini donkeys. For
sale. I mean, I'm telling you, mini donkeys, interesting to find out about. But they were given like 4 days because the Yankees are using it as their spring training home, which it is. So the Rays got any employee they could, like 80 staff members and 50 contracts to start painting, taking down signs, putting up signs. So apparently 3,000 signs that could stretch a mile long if laid in the end was what the Rays brought to us George Steinbrenner Field. They could pretty much touch everything except for the giant bronze statue of George Steinbrenner. They're not allowed to mess with that. But everything else, as they try to make it look more like a Rays place than a Yankees place, they're at it. That's why they start their season today. MLB gave them like one extra day. Why not just start them on the road?
Were they the only team that didn't play then?
That is according to the reporting.
I honestly had no idea that was happening.
So if they needed more time, I'll ask the question one more time. Why not just start them on the road? I know it messes with other people, but is a day going to be enough? I'll answer the question for you. No, the extra day is not enough. They've admitted to it. We're not going to get all the Yankee stuff out of there, but we're trying our best to make it just feel more like our place for the 81 home games they're going to have.
Yeah, just flip it or just give them, you know, even – I know it's unfortunate, but you have to take away home games for them. Just have them play in Colorado for a couple games.
Funny you say that. Like, Colorado. Oh, you know they're playing Colorado. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Colorado's in town starting today. So George Steinbrenner Field will be a Rays stadium, at least for the next 81 home dates for the Rays.
And I think it's going
to
be more.
Yeah, I don't think they're getting back into Tropicana.
I think they're moving to Nashville. So.
Oh, okay.
I just feels like the when they said they – like it was like a week ago? It came out like they're bailing on their attempt to build the new stadium. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, they're leaving. Like, it's just they're not going to rebuild that thing. It's destroyed. They're going to just let it rot and tear it down, and they're going to move. And there's a group in Nashville that's like ready to go that wants a team.
So will the A's play a game in Nashville? Not the A's. I was going to get to them. Will the Rays play a game in Nashville before the A's play a game in Vegas?
That's possible. Because, like if maybe not in their own ballpark, but, like, I could see them moving to Tennessee and playing, like, where, like, the Smokies play or something like that.
Because there hasn't been a shovel put in the dirt yet for the A's, correct, in Vegas? They're playing in Sacramento.
No, they're not. That seems like that's, like, 3 years away.
Yeah, they have not even put a shovel in the dirt yet, so.
Yeah, I don't even know if the stadium designs are finalized yet.
So that's why they'll be playing in Sacramento. So Jose Altuve will be playing left field at some point in Sacramento.
That's gonna be something.
So we'll see. We'll see how that plays out as the A's will be situated in the state's capital until otherwise. All right, let's get to this. Trae Young, NBA star, the Rockets recently played them in a highly competitive game, and he is a star who has connections to the Cougs. He played at Oklahoma. We know Kelvin Sampson played there. There's a connection between Trae and his dad. Trae's dad and Kelvin Sampson. He'll explain that. But Trae Young's been following the Cougs as much as he can. Here is his time with Chandler Johnson about that connection.
I mean, Coach Sampson and Kevin. I got relations with them. I got recruited by them. And so I went on a visit here in Houston when I was in high school. So I got a lot of love for, like, those two guys, Hollis Price on the staff. I got a lot of love for Houston, so I'm always watching. And LJ, I think he had a great game, one of the games I was watching. I ain't even been able to really watch him in the tournament right now, but my pick was them to win it all, so that's breaking news. It wasn't too close. It was more like a love thing. Like, that's how much of a connection I had with Coach Sampson. Like, man, he's a big reason why I live in Norman, Oklahoma today, with the connection he had with my dad. When my dad stopped playing, he was coaching at Oklahoma, so that's the reason why I was back in Oklahoma to begin with. So we have a really good relationship. We don't talk every day, but we know we got love from afar.
The biggest thing there is Trae Young chose Norman, Oklahoma to reside. That's not the norm for an NBA star. Like, even though you went to college there, think about it. Kevin Durant will visit Austin.
Yeah.
But he didn't choose that as his place to live during the offseason. I mean, L.A., I get. It's L.A. If you're from L.A. or you went to school in that area, I get it. You want to go live there. But Norman, is Trae Young...
He must have, like, another house. Like,
I mean, he's from Lubbock, so it's not like he's from that far away, but it's still... You live in Atlanta for most of your time, and you chose Norman. It must have been a great experience playing for the Sooners.
He just likes to get away, I guess.
It is a surprising choice, I will say. I'm trying to think. Like,
I wonder if he's, like, locked down, because, like, I can't imagine the nightlife is popping.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Trae Young's personal life. The first thing I found out about his personal life is he lives in Norman. So maybe he met a girl in college who is from the area and decided, I'm just going to stay here as that relationship flourished. I don't know. Is that the least likely place for an NBA star to live beyond, like, the city? Like, no one's choosing Milwaukee unless you play in Milwaukee.
Yeah, because you
but
just live
an
in
off-season home for an NBA star?
It's
Norman, Oklahoma?
It's got to be. Like, unless, like, you still, like, live with mom and dad. But, like, but you're a star.
He's got a max deal under his belt.
Yeah. Why would you live in Norman? I would guess it's one of the weirdest places.
I mean, there's no list. The only reason we know it is because he offered that information. But I would love to see, as far as the least likely places an NBA star would live, is Norman the top? Or is there someone who decided, you know what? I'm trying to think. Like, Kawhi's from San Diego and he plays in L.A. So San Diego's a great place to live, you would think so.
Would it be weird for the guys to stay in Toronto that don't live there?
Well, I hear all the time that no one wants to.
Yeah.
Like that was a thing the last couple weeks on NBA podcast, and by that I mean player-driven podcast, how Toronto's not a great place for an NBA player. I mean, it's a fine city, but NBA players don't particularly enjoy playing there. If they don't like playing there, I don't think they would live there. Visiting, I'm sure it's okay. Just that I guess just the thought of living in a different country bothers them who aren't Canadians, like Shea and others, like, well, Dylan Brooks and RJ Barrett, to be specific. I'm gonna go with Norman. I can't think of another one that'd be weirder.
No, the only thing.
I mean, I could find weird ones. But
what if Jalen Green lived in the Tyra Taylor's house? That's pretty weird. The one that
I mean,
is.
You mean an actual home? Well, there was a chance he would have until Tyrod Taylor threw
Dre out.
Yeah, I mean, I think he might have spent some time in that home.
Yeah, I think so too.
Until wait a minute, not only are you with this dude who's up with that new contract, but you're having a baby with him. Get out of my house.
Yeah,
get out of my house. I don't know the inner world. I'm never going to live in a world where that's going to mean a lot to me. Where, man, the girl I was with who you know, I would call Dre a sniper. You can take that for what it is. She's a sniper. But you know what? I'm allowed to live in my home. I don't mind it. First, I would never be at a point where that would happen, where I'm with someone and then they live in the home I no longer occupy. I can't imagine that happening. But they live in a different world. The money's bigger. The life is different. But then you find out she has a significant other that she's serious with and she's had a child with. And that was the final straw.
It's like, she got to go.
Get out. She can have this home. She can do all the renovations she wants if she wants to buy it. But the moment I find out whoever you're with is serious, beat it.
Well, I still think the strangest part is, like, I don't think they were married, Tyrod.
No, they weren't.
So it's not like she has, like, marital rights to that house.
No, he decided. I guess she decided, according to the lawsuit back and forth, she was going to buy that home. And because he threw her out of the home because it was still his, she wanted some type of compensation for all the work she had done on the home. And he was like, it's my house. If they didn't sign some type of contract where that was part of the deal, beat it. All because she's kind of wifed up and had a child. It's petty, but it's your house. You can be petty about your house.
Yeah, you can be. It's your house.
You can be very petty about your home. So yes, an NBA star living in the home of a journeyman backup quarterback.
Yeah,
that might be weirder than Norman.
Living in Norman, yeah.
But that's no longer the case, at least for Jalen Green. He's got plenty of money, and I'm sure he's got a very nice place here in town. Okay, we will come back, and we'll find out some stuff about Joe. What's he like to watch? Because in the segment after that, we're going to tell you what you should watch, and Michael Carroll will do that. He's the host of Comicast. He does that podcast with John Lee. You can find that wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can find it here on 97.5, generally on Wednesdays. So We'll get to that, and we'll kind of wrap up the show with some TV talk. We'll be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Joe George is in for Sean. Sean will be producing the 12 to 6 block because that block will be out at Typhoon, Texas with Brian Engineering. Joe, I know a little bit about what he watches because Will mentioned something on this show and he might have heard what we're talking about and come in or as I'm on my way out, we'll talk about it. But I'm not completely locked in on what his preferences are. So we're going to start with this. Joe, full-time job, has a young child, has another on the way. So options as far as going to a movie might be limited. Maybe you have to pick and choose. I'm not sure. I'm just assuming just because of the life you lead. I bring that up because a little bit later, Michael's going to give us things we may watch or maybe he's going to tell us things we shouldn't watch in the theater. So do you even know what's in the theaters currently?
Not really. I usually just wait for stuff to come out. My brother and I will go to, like, every Marvel release
that
happens. That's kind of our thing. We'll go get, you know, we'll go get Pizza Hut at the movie theater and get some popcorn and stuff and watch whatever's coming out.
So it's tradition.
Yeah, Marvel, whatever superhero movie, as long as it's not made by Sony.
of course.
Which I did watch Kraven.
Don't tell Sean. Sean loves a Sony superhero movie.
I watched Kraven this week, something.
On Netflix?
Yeah.
Yeah, I still have not. I haven't watched Madam Web or Kraven yet. I guess I'll get to it at some point. But
it was on Netflix, so I was like, yeah, that's fine. I'm not going to pay for it.
Of course.
Yeah, so we'll go watch those. We're going to probably start. I feel like my movie going experience is about to start being kids' movies.
It's about that time.
Yeah, like yeah. Joseph just got into Toy Story recently.
Has he watched all of them?
He's watched 1, 2, and 3.
3 is the darkest, I feel, of all the Toy Story movies.
It is.
There's
so
some like toy enslavement involved in that, which I was like, okay.
I mean, Sid blows up toys in the first one.
Yeah, but that.
And he dismembers them.
Understood.
They call them cannibals. I forgot about that. Yeah. Like, I'm like, wow, this movie's like kind of dark too.
Yeah, that's a maniacal kid doing things with toys. But the fact that they have this deeper level thing where you have one of the lead toys enslaving the rest of the toys, it's kind of nuts.
Yeah,
it's kind of nuts. Yeah. Toy Story is in its bag from time to time.
But like Toy Story 5 comes out next year.
Okay.
So like stuff like that. We missed out on Moana 2, which I'm okay with.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
He doesn't watch that stuff right now. We're watching a lot of Mario right now.
It's not bad. A lot of us did. We grew up with Mario. So that was the first step in this process. So theater going experience can be limited. We know Marvel maybe takes priority over everything. You got your brother going there with you. So TV wise, I mentioned Landman partly as a joke, mostly because Jerry Jones is in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are we on the Taylor Sheridan shows? The 1923, the 1880, whatever it was.
I like all of them.
Okay.
I haven't started the new one yet. The new season of 18 or 19, whichever.
It's
19. Yeah, I haven't started the new season yet. Probably gonna do that this weekend. Honestly,
I like season 2 so far.
I really liked Landman a lot. I thought it was really good.
I was surprised about how much I liked it.
Yeah, I did not think I would. It was, I mean, are we at spoiler point now?
It is a streaming show on Paramount that I would leave it alone just because.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
I don't know how wide the appeal is.
Yeah, actually. I'm surprised who was in it, that, to say the least, and then kind of where they went with some of the characters in the show.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really good. Yellowstone, I was really late on. I didn't watch Yellowstone with the series until the final season. So I watched all of it leading up to it. And I was like the same way with Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad. I kind of just like somehow don't catch on to these major shows, it seems, right away. So I kind of just like have to binge them and then watch them as they end. Like Game of Thrones, wildly disappointed with the ending of Yellowstone.
I am like 3 seasons behind on Yellowstone. I don't know if I'll ever watch and catch up. Game of Thrones, yes. It's how that show became less a part of our world. I mean, they brought House of Dragon back. That kind of brought back the feeling. But
sure.
The way that show ended kind of changed the legacy of that show,
but,
unfortunately.
You know, last time I rewatched it, I didn't hate it as much.
The final parts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I feel like as like a continuous story, like binging through it, I felt like I didn't hate it as much.
Yeah, I think the anticipation, the fact that we had to wait so long for it, and then you add the part that it's a weekly show, and then we get that as an end. When you think about all the things that could have ended that show and how it ended, I get the disappointment. But now you go back, maybe you watch it and you feel a different way about it. Let's test how deep your bag is. I watch a lot of stuff. It could be a lot. I watch a lot of UK stuff. Have you seen Adolescence on Netflix?
I've not.
Okay. That's a show that no one's going to feel good about. You may not even want to watch it considering the subject matter when it has kids, not crimes committed to not by adults against kids, but one kid commits a heinous act allegedly on another kid. You have to figure out whether he did it or not. And once that part of it is figured out, then you feel you go through how all the systems fail children, from law enforcement to the schools, and how much do parents play a part in how a kid turns out. So I may hit you in the feels. I'm not sure how those type of shows affect you, considering you have young children. This one is about a kid who's probably about 13, 14. So Adolescence is good. It's only 4 episodes. It can get you, depending on. What about Reacher? Reacher on Paramount.
Need to watch it still.
Yeah, it's. I just saw the season finale of season 3. I'm surprised by how well it's reviewed. I like the show, but I was surprised. Like, it's over 90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
Yeah. Considering what it is, and even the actor himself who's playing Reacher he's from like Blue Mountain State, if anybody remembers that show.
And he'll be back, because that's coming back.
Yeah, yeah, that's coming back too. I don't know if he's going to play the quarterback still. He's still a big dude. He's even bigger than he was in Blue Mountain State.
Well, I'm assuming he's going to be like the head coach.
The coach, right, yeah. Or a maybe doesn't work out on the pro level, and he comes back to the school to coach. I just don't know. Blue Mountain State feels like a show where they would just say, we're just going to start where we left off. Yeah, that guy's 35 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's still the college quarterback, because obviously at the time he looked older than a college quarterback anyway. So
what a funny show, though.
I gotta go back and watch
the Oreo scene from like the first episode.
It's like, it's a show that I'm surprised we're getting it back, because it feels like a show you could not make today.
I know. I think that stuff's coming around a little bit.
Maybe.
I think we're swinging back to a place where people understand comedy again
and are not offended by everything. You understand it's a lot of satire. It's not serious. Yeah. Everybody can relax.
Yeah, I think we're gonna go back on some of that stuff. Okay. Like, even some of the stuff that's been like yanked from like television,
we'll come back.
Well, I think like shows that have been removed or edited, I think eventually will undo themselves. Like, even like The Office, like they've got a couple episodes that like are different now if you watch them.
Yep.
Like, I think that stuff's gonna change. But yeah, I'm weird with TV, Del. Okay, I watch, you know, Daredevil right now.
Yeah.
The Twitch will appreciate this, because I know they like to make fun of me for it. I do watch the 3 Chicago shows. Medfire and PD.
They come on the same night, right?
Yeah.
So you have Chicago nights. What night is that?
It's Wednesday night.
Wednesday night. So Wednesday night.
Wednesday nights are busy for me.
Wednesday night is Chicago night for you. Then of course you got sports to watch.
But I also watch the other two shows on Wednesday nights.
Okay.
I also watch Survivor and Amazing Race still. So I'm also into like those shows.
I kind of
spread them out once I watch them.
This is not me being like I don't know what the word I was looking for, but it's not me saying I'm better than. I just have drifted away from network television. I don't watch a lot of, you know what I do watch, but it's not on CBS. I watch NCIS Sydney.
Oh, really?
Interesting. It comes up on Paramount. It pops up like every Sunday morning. I guess it airs on Saturday nights, and I just watch it. It's easy to watch. I think, you know what, it's Australian. I'm being a little different here.
Yeah.
There's some accents here. There's some Americans. And I watch that. I find that entertaining. So I'm not even knocking it. Like, yeah. I have a text string with a friend of mine. We just talk about things that happen on Law & Order. Not things that are happening currently on Law & Order, but things we remember from Law & Order that we talk about. So I'm not I won't say I'm above it. It's just not something, I don't watch a lot of network television anymore.
And the new show I'm watching right now, they dropped episode 3 yesterday. I can't remember if it's Paramount or Peacock. The new Dennis Quaid show, Happy Face.
What show is – yeah, I don't know what network that is on. I'll look it up.
I think it's Paramount. So Happy Face, it's really interesting. So it's
– oh, I know. That's on Paramount.
Yeah, he's a serial killer. His daughter, like, works for, like
– oh, yeah, I've seen the previews for that, yeah.
His daughter works for, like it's almost like an Oprah Winfrey-style show. And then eventually, like – but, like, they investigate, like, murderers and things like that. And eventually he calls the show and outs her. So it's pretty good so far, actually. Like, there's 3 episodes in. I'm into a lot of that stuff, a lot of documentaries watching, but I watch a lot of TV.
I'm with
my
you.
Wife goes to bed early, so like I stay up late. My me time is like 11 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Well, you're gonna have time until Zach's back in front of a PS5.
So we can start playing our college football dynasty
yeah,
again?
I mean, yeah, we're all taking a little break. I mean, we fly through seasons, but Zach is hunting in the great state of Texas, Joe's friend. So we are taking a pause. But
he's nowhere near us, though. He's like 3 hours away hunting turkeys.
Yeah. So,
in Temple, Texas. Had never heard of him.
I think we're all entering our final games, but Zach got priorities, and that priority is hunting turkeys. So we got plenty of TV to watch as opposed to recruiting through our dynasty. We'll come back with Michael Carroll. Maybe Michael Carroll will add to your bag, add even more shows for you to watch, and that's what next segment is about. The host of Comicast joins us up next to tell you about the good, the bad, and what you should watch in TV and movies. We'll talk to him when we come back.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Well, apparently we should have been watching Memphis basketball because they just fired Taylor Jenkins. They are currently, I believe, the 4 seed in the West. They get their ass kicked last night by OKC. I mean, they were down by 2 going to the fourth quarter and got outscored by 19. So they lost by 20+. But according to people, at least someone who covers the Grizzlies, reporters who cover them on a daily basis and the fans have suggested this was coming down. But coming down on March 28th, when you are less than 2 weeks to go in your regular season, and he's done. So Taylor Jenkins out as a Memphis Grizzlies head coach. I don't know how to explain it. I'm sure more stuff will come out, but they parted ways, and of course, in the flowery language, to talk about all the contributions he made, except not good enough to hang around for a playoff run.
Baffling.
Yeah. According to us as outside observers, as I said, people around the team have seen this coming allegedly, but you waited until March 28th to do it. So, of course, when we hear something like this, we think something personal happened. Could it be strictly basketball related? I mean, Memphis has been fine. I mean, they've had runs this season where they've been great. Other times when they haven't been so great. But as I said, they lost last night. They're 4-6 in the last 10, so they haven't been playing great ball. But at 44-29, either the fourth or the fifth seed, they're tied with the Lakers for the 4 seed. But no, he won't even make it to the postseason. So we'll get more information on that. It's just a weird, weird thing. If you haven't been following, and we certainly have not been locked in on Memphis Grizzlies basketball, but they get rid of a pretty young coach. He's only 40 years old. So as long as we don't hear about something beyond basketball being a problem, I'm sure he'll get another job. But wow.
Do you remember a coach getting fired this late into the season?
Not a playoff coach.
Yeah, like a playoffs?
Not a guy who's a 5 seed who could have home court advantage in the playoff series once the regular season ends.
I just can't think of anybody that's ever been fired this late in a season that's not a terrible, terrible team.
Yeah, because like typically it's like, yeah, maybe you get knocked out in the playoffs
right,
and you get fired.
Right.
And it's like after the season, but 9 games before the playoffs start, like it doesn't make sense.
It makes zero sense.
Yeah, the one person I want to talk to is Dylan Brooks. What do you know, Dylan? Because Dylan Brooks, he's not a coach, but remember the Grizzlies made it known they were done with him before the season was over too, because he was up for a new deal, and they told the world pretty much through reporting that don't expect Dylan Brooks back, and they weren't even done with their playoff series. Of course, they got embarrassed by the Lakers. Dylan Brooks was on one, and people are wondering where he would go as a player. He's been a good contributor for the Rockets. So, wow. Okay, Taylor Jenkins out as the Grizzlies head coach. We will get to what we normally do at this time, talk to Michael Carroll about what you should or shouldn't watch. And we always take calls when you want to call. And Eric has called in about a show we have not talked about. I did watch the movie.
I watched the movie.
I've never watched this show before, but it's been on Netflix for a while now. Eric, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Dylan, Michael? I think Dylan's too cool for school because I also watched Chicago Med. I noticed Stephen Weber wasn't on this week. I'm wondering, do you think he's going to become head of the ER department there?
Yes,
also,
I do.
You do? I know you have to contend with that new lady that came on board, the one that let her hair down finally. also, have you heard anything about the Lincoln Lawyer in the new Cecil Hotel documentary? I'll hang up and listen.
I didn't catch the last thing you said, Eric.
The documentary? I didn't hear what the documentary was.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. He's gone now. Lincoln Lawyer documentary, is that what he said? There's no documentary. AI no. told me.
The show itself
yes.
is, from my understanding, very good. I haven't.
It's excellent.
Okay.
I've
heard it's good.
Really
I watched, like, as I said, I watched the movie. I saw a series and I was like, I'm out. Generally, that's my thought. The movie came out. I'm not gonna give a series based off that a chance. But it's been on for a while, and we got a review from Joe, says it's pretty good. And I've heard the same. I've just never gotten into it.
Is it up to season three, Joe? Or
yeah, they just finished season three. It's it's one of those shows where they gave us an incredible plot twist at the end of the season. I don't think they've been officially renewed for a fourth season.
I'm on IMDb, and they've already listed season four in a 10-episode order. So, yeah, I think you're getting a season four.
It's really good. The guy who plays Mickey Haller, the lawyer,
the same McConaughey character?
I think
so. Or is
so.
It a different character, but same
it's
title?
Same title. Yeah. It's kind of like another one of the shows I forgot to mention that I watch is a SWAT, which is the main character is Hondo, just like in the movie.
Okay.
But very different. Same thing here.
It's the same character. Yeah. Mick Haller, the character that the current Lincoln lawyer plays and what Matthew McConaughey plays. So maybe I'll give it a shot. I've not given it a chance. I do remember enjoying the movie.
Yeah.
So, Michael.
Yes.
I asked Joe a little bit of what he's into. He's got a pretty deep bag. He watches a lot of television and movies.
He does.
Let's see if you can add to what Joe may be able to watch this weekend.
All right. Well, this weekend, when we talk about the theater, it's a very mixed bag, unless you're our coworkers, Brian McDonald and Sean Mapes, because there is one movie that those two are for sure seeing this weekend.
Okay.
So if your taste aligns with any of Brian and Sean's, then you are going to go see A Working Man starring Jason Statham.
Well, okay. I was wondering what movie it was going to
be. Oh, they've been talking about it.
Are they just Statham heads? Is that what it is?
Brian, 100%. Sean's just like, I'll see a dumb action movie.
Okay.
I mean, we heard his comparison, Mickey 17 and Fate of the Furious.
You were
and all
very
that.
Upset about that.
I was
that.
Very upset. He almost unlocked it again after one of the shows one day. But yeah, A Working Man, Jason Statham. Plays a construction guy who I guess he's had military training and goes to save these parents' daughter from human trafficking.
Is this a consistent thing he does or something drew him in? Do we know what got him back into the life? Was he trying to just be a normal construction
worker? He was just trying to be a normal guy.
Something got him.
And then the kidnapping happens and he's like, pull me back in, you know, kind of thing.
Got it.
It's from the same people that made The Beekeeper. So if you liked The Beekeeper last year, then A Working Man is for you.
I watched The Beekeeper, and that's where I stopped.
Well, then, Dell, I don't know that A Working Man is for you right now.
I don't think. I think I watched probably 60 plus minutes of The Beekeeper and said, okay, I'm out of here. I didn't even finish it.
I watched it in theaters. I went and saw that movie.
Well, sorry.
It was
fine, right? It's one of those.
It was like trying to be John Wick, but it just.
It wasn't.
It wasn't. Okay. It was not that.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. The Working Man,
Let
me get it right. Written by David Ayer,
directed
by David Ayer, yeah. Written by David Ayer and Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah. So,
if the man can write Rocky,
he can write A Working Man.
Maybe he's got something that we're not expecting in The Working Man. We will see.
So it's a 56% on Rotten Tomatoes. But again, if you're talking to Brian McDonald and Sean Mapes, it's 100% for them. So yeah,
if that is what you're into, we got a movie for you.
You got that. Otherwise, at the theaters, I'm only going to focus really on the wide releases, but also the wide releases are just not great. The Woman in the Yard is a new horror movie that's coming out this weekend, starring Daniel Deadweiler. 33% on Rotten Tomatoes. It is a 88-minute long movie, so maybe that'll get you in if you're a fan of horror. But poor reviews, poor thoughts on this one, so maybe hold off on that. One I was thinking might be good, Death of a Unicorn, starring Paul Rudd, Jenna Ortega.
I saw the trailer for that. It did seem a bit interesting, but what are the reviews?
It's falling apart. It takes too long to get to the actual unicorn creature feature part of it.
Okay.
And it's the cast does well, but the story falls flat. Apart. Okay. And it's predictable. Very, very predictable is what I've been told.
Got it.
So another one, 57%. Maybe skip on that one. And then Being Maria is a biopic centered around Maria Schneider. But that's one of those like deep cinemaphile type movies that I don't know that our audience is going to be into.
Hey.
I'm just saying.
You're not wrong. I'm just trying to defend the people who may be interested in Being Maria.
But also, it's 59% on Rotten Tomatoes.
So maybe wait on it. Is it a foreign language?
Partially. Okay, it is in French.
But the great Matt Dillon's in it.
He plays Marlon Brando. So you got that. Limited-wise, if anything, I would stick to The Ballad of Wallace Island or The Friend. But again, those are more like cinema arty type, cinephile type movies. So it's, if anything, if you're just looking for a popcorn flick, A Working Man's probably your best bet.
Get some action, Jason Statham holding a sledgehammer, things like that. Yeah.
Streaming wise, a little bit better. The big one is The Studio on Apple TV Plus.
Seth Rogen,
Catherine Hahn,
a lot of guest stars,
Ike Barinholtz,
a lot of cameos.
Martin Scorsese's in the first episode. I mean, it's
Charlize Theron is in it.
She's in it for the first episode. Ike Barinholtz, Bryan Cranston is in it,
and it's a take on how movies are made, and hence the name. And Seth Rogen plays a newly promoted studio exec. And
correct.
He comes in thinking, I'm going to make good movies.
I'm going to make artsy movies.
Because part of the plot from the first episode is IP is a big thing, and the Kool-Aid movie is about to be made.
Bryan Cranston gives him the ultimatum of make me a Kool-Aid movie.
Yes.
And
it sounds exactly like you might think. You want a giant Kool-Aid man. And much like Barbie and other things like G.I. Joe, they've all done it. In this case, it's the Kool-Aid man. And Seth Rogen would like to make real cinema. And of course, according to what I've seen, it's supposed to be how a man who with good intentions gets kind of corrupted by the studio and the movie industry and turns into an IP hound because that's all that gets made.
This is my favorite line in the first episode, and it is not a spoiler, but Ike Barinholtz says to Seth Rogen's character, "Why do you keep lying?" And Seth Rogen, "I don't know." And he's just trying to get
he didn't enter into it thinking he would be this guy, but it just turns you into it.
It turns you into it. It's obviously it's a satirical look at Hollywood, but also kind of true, especially with the IP stuff.
Like if you're not locked into some of the ins and outs of what has gone on over the last 5 years, you may not know who these people are portraying, but like, you know, Amy Pascal from Sony is one of the characters you can look at and go, okay, they're talking, or she's not a character, she's an actual person, that you can look, okay, this is someone who's representing her.
Yeah.
But exactly. You can just look at it on the surface level of how do the dumb movies that we talk about here get made, and you can see how some of that comes about in a satirical way. Mm-hmm. The studio's on Apple TV. The first two episodes, maybe the third one has come out now?
First two episodes
are out. You can watch right
94%
now.
94% with critics, 71% with audiences. See,
it wouldn't surprise me that the critics hold it in high regard, mostly because the critics do have that insight into the studio system and who's making what and who these people are representing. Hell, they run into these people in their walks of life. So
exactly.
So I liked it. It's zippy. I mean, I only saw the first part of – it's a problem for me. If I'm going to go home in the middle of the afternoon and watch a show, there's a real chance I'm falling asleep for a nap. It has nothing to do with the show. How my schedule works. Yeah. So I will catch up on that this weekend.
I don't know if either one of y'all are fans of Mythic Quest on Apple TV Plus.
I see it all the time. I have not done the dive to start watching it.
Well, there is a like a short anthology series that comes out today. It's only four episodes, but it's called Side Quest, and it's based off some of the different characters from Mythic Quest. It's a limited run. Again, it's an anthology where it focuses on different characters from that show for a little bit. So if you're a fan of Mythic Quest on Apple TV Plus, that's out for you as well. Bosch Legacy Season 3 on Prime Video is still around. Still getting solid reviews, and the first four episodes are out right now on Prime Video.
I stopped watching Bosch right before his partner was about to turn bad. That might not mean a lot to anyone if you haven't watched it, but there was a point his partner throughout the series, something happened, and he's about to flip, and I have not gotten back to it, but I can't believe we are
still chugging
three
along.
Seasons into Bosch Legacy, the spinoff of Bosch, which still contains the original Bosch and other characters.
Yeah, it's still going. Still going strong. Also on Prime Video, the new movie with Nicole Kidman, Holland.
I saw the previews for that. Nicole Kidman is in so much stuff currently. I'm going to say it's going to be a no for me unless I get otherwise info.
No, you're
that I should watch it.
All no, right. It's described as a mystery thriller, but from what I've seen so far, it is not a mystery thriller. Okay. It's not a good movie.
Right.
30% right now on Rotten Tomatoes, and by all accounts, just not
a
great.
Stay away.
Yeah, stay away. Also, a stay away. The Paul American, the reality show with the Paul brothers.
There's no chance I would ever.
Zero chance. So I just wanted to put it out there just
for people.
Don't
watch. For the people. Don't watch. Not even saying give it a shot.
No. Don't watch it.
Just, okay.
It's terrible.
Joe, would you give Paul America a chance?
No.
Okay.
No.
Thank you. I'm glad we're all in unison here.
No. I'm just excited for it. Did you guys see the Legends of Zelda announcement today?
Yes.
2027 live action. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Can that be good? I mean, it can, but will it be?
I feel like that should be pretty easy to be good. I mean, like, you can do every game. Honestly, my first reaction was like, I think I'd rather this be a TV show.
I'm surprised it's not animated like Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, but like a live action Legend of Zelda, I think that can be pretty good.
If done correctly, I think it has a strong chance because I think studios have a better understanding of how to adapt video games, as we're seeing with The Last of Us, as we're seeing. Not everything's perfect. Speaking to being a Halo fan, mm-hmm. that was
the last season.
Terrible.
I just watched it. I don't know why.
Because it's on Netflix, isn't it?
No, it's Paramount.
No, but they sold it.
Oh, that's right. They're moving it to Netflix.
They moved it to
Paul
Netflix.
Paul told me not to watch it when I started it, and I was like, I have to. Like, it's been on my list, and I just got to that point where I was like, I am pot committed.
Mm-hmm.
I regret. I regret.
I get suckered into watching stuff because there's an actor I like, and I like them in different things. The main, if you want to call her antagonist, but the other side of Master Chief, I don't even remember her character's name. I've watched her in a lot of UK stuff. I was like, I'm going to give her this show a shot. And I suffered through two seasons. I was like, what am I doing?
I thought they were going in a certain direction in season two that I was excited about. I was on Comcast.
I remember talking
to
you about how, maybe not here, but off the air.
Yeah, but something about it. And then it just fell apart by the end of it. I was as a Halo fan, I played all the games. I was just like, oh, this is. No, it's not. It's terrible.
So, was Legend of Zelda the live action? Should it have the same tone as Dungeons and Dragons, that movie, or should it be a different tone?
That would, I would say, honestly, that kind of tone would maybe work. I guess it depends on who they end up getting to direct it and everything.
Okay.
You can't go super serious with it. You can't just be like the fall of. What Hyrule is dependent on Link or whatever, but maybe something in that Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves realm, I think could work.
Did you see that movie, Joe?
I've not yet.
It's good.
You can watch it on Netflix right now. It's pretty good.
It's good.
Yeah,
it's good.
So, I got a lot of time today now. This being done at 12 today, so maybe I'll watch it today.
Yeah, it's,
there you go.
It's nice to be done at 12. It's very nice. Trust me. All right. So, is there anything else on the list? Because I did want to mention you do have a new issue of Comicast out where you break down Daredevil. We'll get that in a little bit.
I do. Nothing really. I mean, it's kind of a quiet streaming weekend and theater weekend. It's going to ramp up here pretty soon, especially with The Last of Us Season 2 set to premiere on April 13th and Andor at the end of April. So, but right now, that's all I got for this
week. Okay, so you can watch, if you're the shows you are currently watching, if you're like me and you finished Reacher last night, the season finale of that, of course, you have Wheel of Time. That is still going on. The new episode of that released last night.
The Pit. Can I just
you love
bang
the
drum
yes.
on The Pit? Like, they had one of their best episodes yet again last night.
You can watch that on Max. So if things aren't popping up that are new, there are things that are still going on in season that we've talked about before that you can go watch and catch up on if you haven't watched them as of yet. So a thing that's on Disney right now, Disney Plus right now, is Daredevil. I haven't seen the latest episodes. 5 and 6 are out. You can listen to the spoiler review with Comicast, Michael Carroll and Jung Lee. Do that. Michael, a quick overview of the 2-part drop that happened this week.
I wondered why they released 2 episodes, and then I watched the 2 episodes, and I was like, oh, I get now why they released 2 episodes. I mean, I think it's also partially because Andor is coming out, they want to avoid that.
Got it.
But also, a streaming service should be able to release 2 shows at once. Like, I just don't understand
are people going to be distracted by one they can't watch the other? Is that what they're afraid of? I don't get it.
I don't get it. I mean, but anyway, but the 2 episodes Episode 5, I'm lukewarm on.
Okay.
I've seen it described as a filler. I don't think it's necessarily filler, but I don't think it's as good as some of the other episodes have been. To me, it's the weakest of the show so far. It's fine. Like, if out of 5, I would give it a 3.
Okay.
Whereas episode 6, I would give it a 4.
Okay.
Episode 6 gets back to what the first 4 episodes were about, especially the parallels between Matt and Wilson. That works. But the rest of it, episode 5, I'm lukewarm on.
Okay, you can hear the full-on spoiler review with Michael and Jong on Comicast right now. You can find it. And, of course, if you want to listen to it on ESPN 97.5, you can from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. That's where you find Comicast.
That's true.
Michael, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll talk to Michael next week about what you should or shouldn't watch. A lot of shouldn't watch this week, how it is. Thanks to Joe for helping me out today. That's Music Means We're Done. The guys are out at a Typhoon, Texas. Typhoon Texas, right?
Yep, Wild West Brewfest.
For the Wild West Brewfest, Paul and the Killer Bees will be out there from 12 to 6. Since we're done for the day, Joe, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did. I'll talk to you on Monday.